Of drawings, video installation, and performance by Laura Corsilia through the month of March. On March 10th, Laura Corsilia will do a live drawing performance with music by Medicine Ball and dance by Leslie Castellano. Learn more at blackfawnart.com or on Facebook. Stay tuned. Coming up next is Art Waves with Wendy Butler.
Thank you for spending your Tuesday afternoon with KHSU. I'm Wendy Butler. And you've got Art Waves. Two interviews on the program today. Later, I'll have three actors performing in Ferndale Repertory Theater's reboot of the comedy musical Nonsense. First on today's program, the story of an aspiring performing artist and how, with the support in myriad ways of her family and through other fortuitous connections, has succeeded in launching the new and free website titled Connect the Arts, which is all about connection and invites all affiliated in whatever capacity with the arts to connect by creating a free account on the site. The address is in the title, connectthearts.com. Connect the Arts founder, Allison Ditchie, is an Arcata High School and Humboldt State University graduate. She has performed with Humboldt Light Opera Company and also taught for its KidCo program. Allison completed her graduate studies in St. Louis, Missouri, where she also works regularly with a professional opera company. She still maintains a connection with HLOC, and she'll be here this weekend, Saturday, March 10th, 4 to 7 p.m., and Sunday, the 11th, 2 to 5 p.m. at HLOC's Space to introduce Connect the Arts. And Allison Ditchie is my guest by phone from St. Louis. Let's talk about Connect the Arts. And so has this idea been incubating inside of you for some time?
Yeah. That's a perfect way of putting it. working in opera and, well, there were a couple of things. So I was working as a stage manager at Union Avenue. Every year I would meet more and more singers because, you know, they rotate. There were definitely people who would come back who were the same people, but there were always new people in the cast too. And as a stage manager, I am the person that everybody goes to when they need things or to talk about things that are stressful to them or that, you know, we all end up hanging out together. So I hear all these stories of all of these professional singers who are traveling all over the country singing at different houses and the struggles that they sort of face. So there was that sort of part of it. And then at the time, I was dating somebody who was bringing in big name, like famous jazz singers to Washington University to give master classes. And we would have dinner with them or be talking to them while we were waiting for their concerts or their classes. And they would be asking questions that were sort of the same questions I was asking as somebody who had recently graduated from graduate school in terms of like finding gigs and how to, you know, getting hooked into the university circuit and things like that. And so I was really troubled by that. And I was troubled by the fact that as somebody just starting my career, that somebody who is towards the end of their career, but at like the highest level that you could possibly get to, was still struggling with the same things that I was struggling with. And I would hear the stories, you know, from the singers at the opera, and it bothered me to think that there were all of these issues with trying to have a career in the arts that didn't seem to be getting better. And so, I don't know, I think that's where it started percolating. And my dad and I started having conversations because my family was always worried about my career choice and in terms of stability and financial. And for a couple of years, actually in a row, he had said, well, what if there was like a Rolodex? Because I think I would complain about not knowing who was out there to work on the types of shows I wanted to work on and who would be willing to work under the kind of circumstances that I was under or had to offer. And he would say, well, what if there was like a Rolodex of all of the musicians in town and then you could like search through it and find people? I was like, well, there probably is that. And then for whatever reason, one year, he said essentially the same thing, and I was like, well, wait a minute. What if being online together as a community in the arts could happen? Because if there was a place for all of us and across all disciplines to be able to find each other and to find the people who were interested in working on the same types of things that we were working on, it would at least cut out that sort of waiting to be in the right place at the right time to meet the right person who happens to say they want to do something, which is how it sort of works now. And that's sort of where that seed, I think, got planted. And then we worked on it for a year, just talking about it and thinking about it. And we, as me and my dad mostly, and my mom.
Yeah, I noticed the Who We Are. There's a lot of the Ditchy family on there.
I know. It was just us. yeah, and then we ended up hiring this company in New York, but that was a long set of circumstances. And 4.5 years later, we didn't have a product that worked. Through that, though, we met someone who led us to someone else, who led us to this company in San Francisco, Carbon 5. And we hired them, and we started all over. And that was last January. So last January, we started from scratch with them, and we built what we have now. And we finished with them, I think, in June of last year. And then we had a couple of months where we hired a couple of people to work with us. Laura's on the site. She's the developer. And Essie is our designer. And so now I work with them on the site. And then we just launched the beta version publicly in September.
How does this differ from Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all those other social media outlets? How is yours unique?
I think the most maybe obvious answer is that it's solely dedicated to the arts. So there's nothing, you know, there's no personal things out there. It's for artists. It's for anybody who works in the arts. So stage managers and designers and crew members and things like that as well. It's also for art supporters and artistic companies. And so I definitely would say that the fact that it's only the arts is probably one of our biggest differentiators. It's also a place where you can share personal, and we encourage people to share personal stories, but it's also about sharing your work.
Mm-hmm.
And sharing what you do. So whereas some of the other social sites, it's sort of a free-for-all of what they're about. And this is really dedicated to telling your story as an artist and sharing your journey as an artist. And part of that is personal. I mean, a lot of that is personal, but it's not necessarily like I had eggs for breakfast. Mm-hmm. Unless that somehow inspired some work that you're doing.
And but if somebody puts, I had eggs for breakfast, it could be accepted as, I don't know, poetic perhaps.
Sure. I mean, if that's where they're coming from, I mean, absolutely.
How has this helped you? So far, has this given you something that kind of helps from what you were talking about, you know, you were concerned about, you know, 4 or 5 years ago?
Yeah, well, so what's really interesting about this is this has connected me to so many people, which it seems obvious, but I've thought this so many times as I've been working on this project because it's, I don't want to say forced, but sort of, mm-hmm. me to reach out to people. Mm-hmm. And to contact artists and to talk to them about what they do and talk to them about their work and learn about what they need and learn about what they want. And just the act of doing that has put me in contact with so many different people. I think that connecting with them has done what, like in person, has done what I hope the site does for everybody, which has given me a ton of inspiration. I feel like I have a lot more support. I have a lot of people I can call on to help me with different things. I'm much more aware of all of the opportunities that are out there for funding, and I have a better sense of why I do what I do, which I think is an interesting sort of also side effect, I guess, of doing this work.
It also will be for people who become part of this site, because as you are writing about, discussing, viewing, what is happening in other artists' lives, it definitely inspires you to look more critically, more clearly at what you're doing.
Yeah, exactly. To feel like you're not alone. It's really easy to feel alone working in the arts. And I would imagine that's true. Well, I've heard it from some friends, but especially for visual artists who work often alone. I was talking to, this is kind of a side story, but I was talking to an opera friend of mine in New York last week, and she was talking about how she navigates the sort of ups and downs of contracts and contracts falling through and trying to make sure she's always, you know, making enough money to survive for the year. And she was talking about how the idea of working on stage with all of her colleagues and the support that she feels when she not only like has an orchestra and all of the instrumentalists there, but then all of the people on stage with her who are also singing, and then the people who are out in the, you know, backstage and running the lights, and just the whole idea of how that moment makes her feel supported and connected and like she's not alone, because so much of the rest of her day and her year is working to get these jobs, that one moment makes all of it worth it. And I just thought that was really beautiful and interesting.
Allison Ditchy, the free site, which is inviting new members to create their free accounts, is titled Connect the Arts, and the address, connecttheArts.com. And Saturday, March 10th, 4 to 7 p.m., and Sunday, March 11th, 2 to 5 p.m., a launch party open to the public will be held at HLOC's space at 92 Sunny Bray Center. And Allison will be present to introduce Connect the Arts. I'm Wendy Butler, and you are listening to Art Waves on KHSU. Ferndale Repertory Theater presents Dan Goggins' comedy musical, Nonsense, this Friday, March 9th through April 1st. Ferndale Rep first staged the show more than two decades ago. This time, under the direction of Lyra Satloff, the theater is reuniting three actors performing in the same roles they first staged in the Ferndale Rep 1992 production. Bonnie Halverson, Terry Desch, and Julie Angles. And they will take the stage along with two newcomers, Alyssa Morey and Molly Saverdia. My guests are Terry Desch, Julie Angles, and Alyssa Morey. Terry Desch is first with a description of her character.
Well, poor little sister Amnesia got hit in the head with a, what did I get hit in the head with?
Crucifix.
A crucifix. I don't remember. But I got hit in the head with a crucifix, and so then I lost my memory. And I can't remember my name. And so we spend a lot of time trying to help Sister Mary Amnesia remember who she is. The good news is finally we do. Spoiler alert.
And then when you say trying to help the sister remember, Julie, does Sister Robert Ann have a lot of scenes with Sister Mary Amnesia?
Well, all five of the nuns have quite a few scenes together. Okay. And then there's different situations where maybe two of the nuns do. So yeah, Sister Mary Amnesia and I have some time together. My character is the street smart one from Canarsie, Brooklyn, and she's more interested in being a star. But if Sister Mary Amnesia remembers who she is, that's a plus.
You've set your bar low.
Yeah.
Well, how does this feel, reuniting for this show? I mean, how are you looking at these nuns now?
Well, they're older, a lot older. 25 years at least. It's interesting to look at the nuns now, because the nuns have changed in some capacity. As we grow older, they also, you know, take on the older parts too. For instance, when the nuns dance now, the older ones. Well, there's a lot more creaking and cracking that goes on. And the memory is not quite what it used to be. So we have to work a lot harder than these young ones over here.
No, it's been a joy to work with Terry and Bonnie again. I mean, we're all three good friends and have been for over 25 years. And it's great to work with the new nuns who are tons of fun, except that, yes, they do seem to be a little more flexible and a little more youthful. And I don't know that Terry or I don't know that our characters have matured, but we as actresses.
No, mine has degraded.
Regressed. Yeah. I think we're trying to play the same characters we played all those years ago, but it's a little harder.
Is it possible that you're reading different meaning into your characters, given that you are older now, looking at those lines?
Yeah.
These characters don't have as deep a meaning as you would like to think. They really just are nuns who do have a mission to accomplish. And they really do it in their own special characteristic way, each one of us, because we each have goals that we want to achieve. And so, yes, they're pretty lighthearted characters, even though they do take themselves quite seriously.
Alyssa, you play Sister Leo. Please tell us a little bit about Sister Leo and her connection to these other characters.
Well, Sister Mary Leo is the novice. So she's the youngest and is still kind of figuring out what a nun is and who she should be. And she looks up a lot to the other nuns, and especially Sister Hubert, who's the mistress of novices. It's kind of like a mentorship, but also to the other nuns. And she's just kind of trying to figure out her place. She has, you know, goals of her own that she needs to figure out how that works within the convent.
Yeah. I have to say, if I may cut in, it's funny that she says she looks up to us because she's actually one of the taller ones of all of us. So
that's
she's
true.
Most of the time looking down at us. But I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That's okay. Yeah, that's about it.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to read this from the nonsense.com official website, which, well, for instance, also has things like the convent store, which are, I guess you can buy things from the play in the convent store. So it's interesting. So this is what it, because I want to go from this and ask you all to respond to a question I have. But as you know, begins when the little sisters of Hoboken discover that their cook, Sister Julia, child of God, has accidentally poisoned 52 of the sisters, and they're in dire need of funds for the burials. The sisters decide that the best way to raise the money is to put on a variety show. So they take over the school auditorium, which is currently set up for the 8th grade production of Grease. And so this is setting us up for what we're going to see in Nonsense. So I was wondering, in this musical comedy, how does it treat nuns? How does it treat religion? I mean, is it taking a poke at all of that? Because when you look at the beginning here, you think, well,
no, it's not at all.
It's actually so lighthearted that it's not really poking at religion at all. It plays with religion. And so basically, the whole broad picture of religion is really not the big picture. It's really about these nuns. And it does play around with what these nuns go through in their Catholic world that they live in. But it really doesn't poke at religion as I can see.
No, not at all. And people who are Catholic, they'll get a lot more of the jokes and they'll really appreciate it. Because it's not irreverent at all. It's each of the five nuns is quite lovely. Each person has a very warm heart, and they might have their own individual desires for themselves, but ultimately they're out for the greater good. So no, there's nothing really religious. If anything, it's more spiritual, I think.
As a matter of fact, back in the day, 25 plus years ago, we made a tape of it, and I sent it to my very devout mother-in-law. You know, a VHS?
Yeah,
VHS tape. I know you, Sister Leo, don't really know what that is.
I know what that is.
And she watched it, and she said it was about the funniest thing she's seen So Catholics absolutely love this show because they get it. They identify with it.
Right. They'll say, oh, I had a teacher at Catholic school, a nun like that.
Yeah. You know.
It's really quite, I think, a tribute to it. And people who are not Catholic are going to love it, too. Yeah. Just because there's a lot of silliness and playfulness and sweetness and lovely music and fun dancing. And it's just a good time. I mean, I've got people who saw it 25 years ago saying that they had not laughed so hard and they can't wait to see it again. So, yeah, it's just a fun night. If you don't want to have to think too much, it's a great thing to do.
Alyssa, I'm wondering, you know, since you obviously weren't in the original production at Ferndale Repertory Theater, what has been your exposure before actually being in it? What has been your exposure to nonsense?
I had never seen it or read the book. I think I'd heard that it existed somewhere, you know, but I didn't know anything about it. When I heard there was going to be a show next season about nuns, I thought, oh. And, okay. Interesting. I'll go, you know. But until I read into it a little bit more, it wasn't something that I realized would be so appealing and so funny and something that I would even be interested in auditioning for. So I'm really glad that I did my research before it was too late and I missed the audition. So, I was very happy to jump on board.
Well, starting with you and then having everybody else respond, since you said you really wanted to be part of it when you found out more about what it was about, Alyssa, what stands out for you about the collaborative process of putting this together? What are some high points for you?
Being a part of a small cast gives us a chance to get to know each other better, and I feel like it's a really rich experience. Also, when I was reading about the character that I play, I heard a few things about her, and I thought, oh, I want to do that.
Oh, like what kind of thing?
Well, she has aspirations, and she was a dancer before she was a nun. And I was a dancer growing up. And so I miss my dance life that I used to have. You know, I used to dance 6 days a week for hours a day and perform year-round. But when I got older and, you know, I was a college student and later when I had kids, it wasn't something I had as much time for. And so participating in musical theater, especially where there's more of a dance focus, because some musicals have more dance in them than others. So portraying a character that was a dancer was really special to me. So,
how about you, Julie?
Well, let's see. Well, Lyra Satloff, the director, she was the first director I worked with when I moved up here in 1991 when we did Evita way back when. And so when she came to us, Terry, Bonnie, and me, and said she wanted to do nonsense again, I think all three of us thought, huh, that was one of my most rewarding experiences 25 years ago, really. It's so much fun. It is. It's a small cast and you do get to know each other really well. Plus it's fun. It's a fun script and I really respect Lyra. And so, as long as Terry and Bonnie were in, I said I would be in. So, because that was just going to add a whole other, another aspect of it that was so special. But we've also met new people. We have a different choreographer. We have different music director. We have different costumer, different people that are there. So that's been nice too. It's not exactly like it was. It's not exactly the same, obviously. And I mean, I don't have that great of a memory either to know what did we do way back then. But there are certain things we do remember, and we've incorporated a few of those things back in. But it's just been really great to be Robert Ann again. I've always loved that character, and it's nice to return to her.
And Terry?
I really appreciate that I get to play a role that my memory doesn't really matter. And it works for me. But basically, I agree with what both of these people have said, because they really have summed it up. But one of the things that did make me go, okay, I think this would be a lot of fun to do, was the realization that we could bring some elements of what we had 25 years ago back together again, and then meld it with the new. So that was kind of fun and exciting for me.
Terry Desch. Also here have been Julie Angles and Alyssa Morey. Nonsense at Ferndale Repertory Theater. The show opens Friday, and there will be Friday and Saturday night shows at 8 p.m. and Sunday matinees at 2 p.m. And the show runs through April 1st. To order tickets or for more information, you can call the box office at 786-5483. Or you can visit ferndalerep.org. And that's Art Waves, a KHSU production. I'm Wendy Butler. Join me for the next regular broadcast Tuesday at 1:30 p.m. You can listen anytime online at khsu.org. You can download podcasts of the program from iTunes. Until next time, thanks for listening.
Bill Evans was one of the great artists of the 20th century and of all time. If you dig modern jazz, tune in to Gone Sides, Tuesday starting at 8 p.m. I'm your host, Darius Brotman. That's 8 o'clock on Tuesdays on KHSU, your jazz station.
Aha! Blood.
Colors.
Drip.
Death.
18 years.
Forever.
Giraffes.
Hope.
Hunger.
I don't know.
Jukebox.
Kids.
Light.
Maybe.
Nerves. Birds.
Octopuses.
Popsicle molasses.
Ouch.
Oops. Peanut butter.
Exactly. Peanut butter.
Perfection.
Question mark.
Really?
Yeah.
Right.
Ready?
Tuesday evenings at 7 here on KHSU.
This is Campus Connections with Humboldt State University President Lisa Rosbacher.
Humboldt State has already started accepting students who will enroll in fall of 2018. The acceptance letter that these future students receive includes a university pennant and an invitation to post a photo on social media. The messages associated with these posts are inspiring. Here are a few examples. I'm going to Humboldt. Got this in the mail today. Hashtag maybe I will be a lumberjack. I'm in. Hashtag first choice. And this one. OMG. I have such mixed emotions right now. I don't know if I should laugh or cry or maybe both. And parents of new students have been posting on Instagram too. Here's one example. This just in. My girl has officially been admitted to college. She knows that I would be excited no matter where she decided to go, but I'll admit I'm a bit more excited to announce that she will be attending my alma mater, Humboldt State University. I cannot wait to have a reason to go back and visit. Hashtag college bound. And here's another proud mother. He got in. First acceptance letter. Congrats, buddy. All your hard work paid off. So proud of you. Hashtag love my boys. Hashtag mom life. But this one may be my favorite. The image shows a young woman holding a large HSU pennant, and the text just says, dreams. That's who we are. That's what HSU offers. Dreams. Dreams of an education, of learning, of discovering new ideas, new places, new worlds, and new lives. And I am so impressed with how this prospective student has captured our goal and her goal in that word. Hashtag dreams. I'm Lisa Rosbacher, hashtag president, hashtag Humboldt State, and I look forward to connecting with you next time.
Campus Connections is produced in the KHSU studios in Arcata, California.
Bye.
is diverse public radio from Humboldt.